And I'm back.
Hey, all right. It's about time.
In a brand new locale.
Oh, where are you?
Slidell in the motherfucking house, bruh.
Oh, what's up, Slidell? You got some internets too?
Oh, we even got the internets out here.
And it ain't just the lining of your swimsuit.
No, it ain't. Oh, I see what you did there.
What's up, Who Dat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale rating is a zero. Not drinking tonight. I will say, with no Saints game to talk about for the first time in a long time, we at least cannot be upset about anything. But unfortunately, we also have nothing to celebrate. Unless you're Damon, in which case, we welcome you to Damon's Patriot Podcast.
.com.
We will at least, alright, on this show we're going to cover a variety of topics, including the conference championship weekend recap, some NFL news, and who knows, maybe some Pelican Plunge will find its way into the agenda for once. So, you can put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times. You know what, let them loose tonight, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show, what's your number?
Yeah, you don't need a fucking seatbelt tonight, who gives a fuck? It's over, go wherever you want.
That's right, you can get out the car.
Right.
I would imagine there's a few people who have, in fact, jumped off the bandwagon already.
Yeah, yeah. I'll go with a one. In the process of moving to some temporary digs for a while, but I'm all set up.
Did you move?
In a van down by the river.
No, I'm not Poe. So I didn't do that.
Poe?
Yeah, Poe. I'm not Poe White Trash.
A Matt Foley reference.
Come
on now.
No, I have no. Of course, I've watched this before. I know that. I just said that wasn't me. I wasn't rolling doobies because I wanted to be a writer.
There you
I
go.
Was rolling doobies because I wanted to get high.
Right down by the river.
Right. So did I say? Yeah. I'm just the one chilling.
Right. Damon, welcome to the show. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling all right, Jeff. Minnesota is not going to the Super Bowl. And the Minnesota Miracle doesn't mean shit anymore.
All right, well, I guess we could do a little conference championship recap. Start with the first game that came on, AFC Championship, New England, doing what New England does, and that's earn trips to the Super Bowl.
Being down by 10 in the fourth quarter, 10 minutes left, and man, Jacksonville, again, they've been fun. They've one of the few teams that I was able to watch, you know, throughout the playoffs. I saw them against Buffalo and then Pittsburgh, and now this week, and man, I mean, they're for real, and at least for the last 3 weeks that I've watched them, or 2 weeks, you know, Blake Bortles looked fine.
He did enough when it mattered. I mean, you know, he had a really good game against Pittsburgh, but he did enough. I mean, it's not like he shit the bed, but, you know, at the end of the day...
He's not Matt Ryan.
No. he scored more than 2 points in a playoff game.
Right.
But, you know, like, at the end of the day, he couldn't, you know, he's not good enough. Like, he wasn't good enough.
Can't put the team on his shoulders a la a Drew Brees. No.
Yeah, it was a shame, too, because, man, I was pulling for them hard.
Why were you hard when you were pulling for Jacksonville?
Because I'm used to watching New England. It's like you see the same naked picture all the time. Like, look, it's great the first couple of times, but then you get used to it.
You're like, what is the podcast going toward? Jason and Fag, the now naked picture of Tom Brady? Is Matt going to be a guest next week?
Notice not once did I ever say a naked picture of Tom Brady. You said that in your mind.
You said naked pictures and the Patriots. When you think of the Patriots, who do you think of?
Not once did I say Tom Brady.
Oh, somebody else that you like. Okay.
But see.
Somebody else you like. That's okay.
You notice that naked picture. He instantly thought of naked pictures of Tom Brady because that's what Damon has on his computer.
You down. If you like, you know, somebody else on the Patriots, that's fine.
No, I don't.
So you do like Tom Brady.
I guess I should have said naked boob pictures. Should have explained.
But anyway, since 2012 when we had the podcast, I don't know if y'all been listening, you know, whoever's been listening long enough, and we were talking about the Patriots and Jason poo-pooed on them. They've only won two Super Bowls and gone to three since then. You understand that, right? When I said, man, I wish we were more like the Patriots.
So clearly, they heard my criticisms, and they said, well, fuck that guy. We're better than that, and that's what they've done. So I was an unintentional motivator of the Patriots. Mm.
But, yeah, I mean, the Jaguars, God, man, they have a good they play well. Leonard Fournette, of course, he's an LSU boy, so I think we all want to watch him do well, you know?
He gave us something to root for, because I didn't give a shit about the NFC game, and at least with Jacksonville, I had something to pull for.
Yeah. Yeah, look, that game to me, going into it, you're right. Toward the end, I said, yeah, come on, Jacksonville. You know, you've been down all these years. So you're pulling for the underdog. That's just natural. But again, whoever won in the AFC, I was going to be happy for because I think they're both two great stories. The greatness of the New England Patriots, which is in fucking insane what they do. It's insane.
Crazy stupid. What is it? Seven straight AFC title games?
Right.
Yeah, it's absurd.
And eight Super Bowl appearances?
What the fuck?
Yeah. It's
right? Crazy. I mean, right now, five wins. We don't know, maybe. You know, my goodness. Just, especially in this era of free agency, we never thought we'd see dynasties anymore. You know, not, wow.
This isn't even a dynasty. This is just flat out.
This is a super dynasty.
You have to come up with another word. It's a patriot. You just give them the title. So you got your dynasties, and then you got your patriotisms.
Amen. You know. So
You just patrioted all over that shit.
Right. And look, I mean, I don't begrudge them their success or anything. Like, I'm not jealous of their. You know.
Want them to win the Super Bowl.
I agree.
You know how those memes all are coming out? That's the whole, like, United States painted one color and just the New England area painted another color. It's like cheering for New England and then people cheering for the Eagles. And it was kind of trying to show that, like, basically the whole country is rooting against the Patriots just because of what you're talking about. I'm sitting here saying, well, you can color a little dot on the Patriots part of Louisiana.
No doubt. I think it's a vocal minority who, you know, we hate the Patriots because they're successful. But no, I think a lot of people, hey, they enjoy seeing, you know, other people have success and rewards. And hey, the Patriots earned it.
Well, and the reason I agree with that, too, is, I mean, think about it. If the Saints were in that boat, we'd be loving it. And
I hope one day we are as hated as the Patriots.
Right. Like, you're right. Like, if that's why you people hate me, I want to be hated.
Yes.
according to asshole Jeff Duncan. I know. We're going to get,
I think we get into that later and whatever.
Oh, yeah. I was just sticking it in here now, but yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck Jeff Duncan again.
But yeah. So again, it was a good game. Like I said, the Jacksonville played well, had a 10-point lead with 10 minutes left in the game. And of course, Tom Brady and the Patriots do what they do, come back.
Now, some people would say, and conspiracy theorists, that the Patriots had a whole lot of help from the NFL. And you saw the pictures with the referee coming in, celebrating the touchdown, and the referee being the first person to congratulate Tom Brady after the win.
And one
penalty being called on him.
Right. And also, he tried to assist Tom Brady in getting up one time. I did notice that live during the game. And I thought, that's not going to look good. I said, if anybody else notices that, and of course they all.
They did.
And I said, I'm not gonna. I said, that's not gonna look good. But I did notice that during the game and thought, yeah, It doesn't. I don't believe in the conspiracy theories.
You don't believe in them, not to the. I don't believe in them to the extent that I think that it gets so deep in it. But I do believe that there is bias. It's human nature. Right. There's going to be bias, right. And I think I don't know the conspiracy part, and I think that part just happens. You just can't stop that. Maybe some referees and some officials have a certain level of forgiveness that they'll give to certain teams and not other teams, and you might have just had a crew that was sympathetic to the Patriots. Okay, favored the Patriots. I don't know. Whatever. The others, or sometimes they just have a little bit more respect for a team. Like, you know, the Patriots have the reputation of being so successful in winning that the referees give them benefit of the doubt.
That's it, benefit of the doubt. That's what I was going to say, exactly, right there. It's not that they're favoritism, but if you're a well-known, you know, consider a great player, you will get the benefit of the doubt. No, I mean, 100%.
Now, let me go further across. I'm going to drive this car as far close to the edge until you tell me to hit the brake. Now, so to drive this van to the rivers to go visit Jason while he smokes a bag and looking at Nick with Tom Brady. So
that's what the off season, baby. It's better than talking about a bullshit mock draft, right?
That's right. What about if the NFL does, in fact, maybe urge the referees to say, look, man, Jacksonville not going to get the, you know, we need Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, okay, because the NFC ain't bringing anybody worth selling. I don't know. I mean, do you get a little bit of NFL interference in things? To the extent that it's scripted or that it's fixed and rigged or people are paid.
I understand what you're saying. I mean, right. Obviously, right.
There's a narrative. There's an agenda to try to influence.
Right. A New York-LA Super Bowl would bring bigger audience, they think. But I don't think that's the truth with the Super Bowl.
No, I mean, because the Super Bowl brings in so many casual viewers. Right. Like, and you have Super Bowl parties. Like, the Super Bowl is always going to be watched regardless.
Right.
Right. And Jacksonville gets as much ratings as the Patriots would. Because it's the first time they've been there.
After being down.
If anything, you might get Patriots fatigue.
Right.
Which Damon never gets, but.
I told you, they're the model franchise. Jason, are they the model franchise?
They are the model franchise. Okay. They're 9-0.
All right. So then the next game was the...
I don't even know if I want to talk about the game, but I'm sure we've all seen it. My God, the Philadelphia fans are fucking animals. That place needs to be dropped a nuke on and just fucking start over. Holy shit.
They are fucking assholes.
The city of brotherly love, my ass.
You get a goddamn job before sundown, or we're shipping you off to military school with a goddamn Finkelstein shit kid. Son of a bitch.
That'd be like calling Homer the city of the beautiful people. You know what I mean? Jesus.
Oh, what you got against Homer?
Well, they're full of ugly people.
Well, that's
Jesus
clear.
Christ.
It's clear that you feel that way.
Well, it gets through. Have you been to Homa?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Wow. You know what I'm talking about then.
Jesus. Man, what the fuck? Hey, okay. Any of you people who live in Homa who are listening right now, if you ever see Damon, not that you know what he looks like, but you can YouTube us and find one of our old Christmas videos. If you ever see him,
send
feel free
picture.
To chuck a beer at him.
Send us a picture of yourself.
Oh, Jesus.
Right. Right. You see, you don't want that either. I agree.
With the pot calling the kettle black.
I'm very handsome.
Nope. Thank you.
At least when the three of us get together, I'm the most handsome. That's why I hang around you two Dundee.
Keep telling yourself that. All
right. Right.
So the show, the game, the show that's fixed, you know.
Well, I couldn't bring myself to watch this game, so I didn't see any of the game.
Well, you know, I get funny, but... You know, game starts, Minnesota get their first possession, drives down the field, bop, 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 scores, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, fuck me. Philadelphia kind of sputters. And then to tie the game, series into it, who gets a pick six?
I know.
P-Rob.
Fucking P-Roblem.
P-Rob.
I would say, oh, man, wish we would have kept him, but I don't think he ever would have been ever had a pick six for us. You know, it just wasn't working out here.
Right.
Well, maybe now with Aaron Glenn as the DB coach.
Right.
Maybe.
I thought of that too. I thought of that too.
Possibly.
But some. Right. But look, I've said it before on this show. Sometimes you just need to change the scenery. Mm-hmm. The only one that I hold a grudge against, I don't like Malcolm Jenkins. Because after he left here, and I think he had beginning success in Philly, he admitted that he had gotten lazy in New Orleans. And that pisses me off. You know, y'all remember that quote from him or interview?
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Right, and that's just like, really, you fucking asshole?
Well, but that's a little telling about maybe that was our whole problem, is that players were allowed to become lazy.
Well, perhaps.
Even Vaccaro had a little lazy spell.
Yeah, motherfucker didn't even show up in the last three or four games. Lazy bastard.
But Jenkins was here for the Super Bowl, so, you know, you still...
Right, I mean, well, you want it, right.
Super Bowl high lasted for a while.
And he could, you know, he could be another player that could still be here from our Super Bowl. I mean, I don't know. You know, fuck you. You had the talent and you didn't do it. It pissed me off. I'm sorry. I mean, what?
Belichick doesn't let his players ever get lazy.
No. No. But anyway, so, you know, those are two ex-Saints, and I'm sure there might be. And I think Ellerbe's there, right?
Ellerbe's there. Well, even though he's not playing because he's hurt, but Sproles.
Oh, no, not Ellerbe. He's talking about Sproles.
As is, of course, the tradition.
No, Ellerbe.
Oh, so I must have missed that, right?
Yeah. But right, yes, Sproles, Ellerbe, Jenkins, and P-Rob.
I mean, if anything, I'm pulling for Philly so Sproles can get a ring at this point. I mean,
that would be the one benefit to Philly winning.
I don't know. So let's say you're Darren Sproles, and yeah, you're on the team. But is that ring really that special?
It was because he played games and helped you win games at some point during the season.
I mean, when did he go out?
He played at least, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 games. But it's not like he's a backup quarterback who never got a snap. It's not like he's a Mark Brunell with the Saints and got a ring.
No, I get it.
Though Brunell did play that last game.
Sproles paid his dues in the NFL. He deserves a ring.
Right. I mean, I'm still
disappointed. He played in 3 games.
Oh, shit. That's it? Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I mean, he did play in 3 games. Well, I mean, it still counts. I mean, they won games. Still counts.
Yeah, you know.
They lost.
I think it takes a little of the shine off for him. I mean, I think he'd be more than happy to.
I mean, at this point, he's had a long enough career. Fuck the shine. Get a ring and fucking retire.
Been in the league since 2005, man.
I know. And running back, like, that's insane.
No, definitely a great player. But anyway, yeah, bless. I like him. But anyway, so yeah, so Minnesota, you know, the game, what? Minnesota got trounced 38-7. So what'd you take away from that?
They clearly had their Super Bowl last week.
Well, we could have been there. I mean, okay, I'll give you that. But here's the question. Go ahead.
There was somebody posted this stat, like, you know, when a team has like a crazy ending, crazy finish, crazy win to a game, a playoff game, the next week they're like 0-6, 0-7, whatever.
Right.
Okay. Well, there you go.
All right. Would the Saints have beat Philadelphia? That's the question.
Not the way Philadelphia beat Minnesota.
I mean, they would have put up a better fight. Now, I mean, Minnesota was just firing. I mean, Philly was firing on all cylinders.
Yep.
But you like to think they'd have done better than just the measly 7 points.
Well, yes. I mean, I think we all can agree there. Right? So I think y'all are with me that I'm saying, fuck it, I don't think we'd have beat Philly.
I agree. I would rather lose the divisional round than lose the NFC Championship. And I'd rather lose the NFC Championship than lose the Super Bowl. You know, each layer up.
Understand, right? It hurts. The next layer hurts, right?
Yeah.
like, you know, for other Saints fans out there, you know, maybe you can send us a tweet next week. Does the fact that they played so well and dominated Minnesota somewhat ease the pain, thinking like, well, shit, we might not have beat them anyway? It's not like Minnesota went in and won. Then you're like, oh, fuck, we clearly would have won that game. Not like at 11 where we would have beat the Giants at home.
We would have beat the pants off the Giants, and then we'd have beat the pants off the Patriots. Right. They weren't that. They were good. I mean, the Patriots, you know. were not worthy, but that year they were definitely beatable.
Right, right.
Right.
So does it ease the sting a little bit knowing that, well, shit, it wasn't a sure thing? And
I'm down with that. I agree.
At least it's some way I could feel a little better about the loss.
Even though every time I think about that fucking play, I get angry.
That's why that's why I'm trying not to think about it.
I want to kick Jason in the balls. Yes, Jeff in the balls.
What? All right. I'm going to move out of championship game recap.
Well, there's only two games, so you kind of have to.
Right. So, and let's get into look at him tweets. All right, so this first tweet came from, you remember Christian Laprette from last week?
I think I remember you saying, ooh, first time tweeter.
Yeah, and then we just like got all over him for being a troll, possibly a plant from Minnesota, because we couldn't understand what he was saying about the jersey and sweeping the stadium or something. Remember all that?
Oh, yeah. No, I do.
Okay. Well, he replied.
He clarified himself?
Yeah. Not a troll. Not a Minnesota fan. He said, guys, I meant that I was going to sweep the Panthers stadium in my Breeze jersey. Thanks for the response, but whoa.
But you know what, though? Like, not once, like, there was no Panthers mentioned in that tweet unless Jeff screwed it up, which is definitely possible.
Classic Jeff. No, I read the tweet right. Maybe we just got the stadium wrong. He said the name of the stadium, and I think somebody did say...
I did. I told you Bank of America Stadium within God bless it.
Yeah, you did. And
y'all told me I was wrong.
Yeah.
Well, I just assumed it was Minnesota because I don't know the name of these fucking
Charlotte's a big banking hub, so that's why I figured Bank of America would be in Charlotte.
And isn't Bank of America out of Charlotte?
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, Christian, we owe you an apology. You are not a troll. You are.
Is that what he does for a living? Sweep that stadium? Or was that going to be just, you know, like a fun thing for him to walk in there and do?
I think that's the latter, David.
Yeah.
I don't know him. I mean, why? You have something wrong with people who clean stadiums?
No, I don't think anybody's job is to sweep a stadium with a broom.
How do you think they get clean?
They drive things that suck stuff?
No. We're talking about
stands,
the seating area.
In the stands, what are you driving through there?
Oh, see, I'm thinking the field, the turf.
See. Who sweeps the fucking turf?
No one!
You suck stuff. That's what's happening.
Christian Laprette.
All right, Christian, we need to hear from you again.
Yeah. What's your job? What do you do?
What?
All right, next tweet comes from Ryan Cummings. Says, who has been your MVP for us this year, and who has surprised you this season?
Mm. Well, Ryan Ramczyk surprised me at how good he is. I mean, I was, you know, like, I know a lot of people were disappointed when we drafted him. I was not, but I didn't expect that out of him.
Offensive linemen are not sexy picks. Skill position are sexy picks. Right. So, right. There was not a lot of excitement.
So that was my big surprise.
I'm going to say the MVP is Cam Jordan. Cam Jordan. I'm just all over me some Cam Jordan.
Yeah, I think you might be right on that.
And obviously, I mean, there's so many easy picks. Lattimore, I mean, I think
I think Cam Jordan, right. Or go ahead. Say what you were saying.
Well, you know, what we were able to do with the defense, now that we have Lattimore who can shut one side of the field down.
Well, and that's why I might put it on Lattimore, because Jordan was great this year, but Jordan's been really fucking good the last couple of years. It's just the rest of the defense has been awful. And now,
right. But I still feel like he stepped it up this year. Even
he did play better.
Right.
The fact that Lattimore was back there and could shut down his side of the field made the defense that much better.
No doubt.
Back end.
No doubt.
So it shows his value, because without him, even with Cam Jordan, we couldn't muster
right.
a defense.
Right, right.
So
right.
the value of a lot of more there.
So that's why I would.
It's a combination of the two. I'd say surprise for me, honestly, Kamara, strictly from the fact that, remember, we walked into this season thinking it was going to be Adrian Peterson and Mark Ingram, and Kamara is just some guy, right, that they picked up. I mean, he's good. Don't get, you know, what was he at? Tennessee, and people say he was misused there, so you really didn't know what to expect from him. Maybe he was going to kind of be a guy that was a project, is going to work his way into the rotation.
And even, you know, we kind of expected the scat back, so we figured he'd put up some stats, but not the production that he ended up putting up.
Right. Not that he'd run Peterson out of town.
Yeah.
No, don't.
Literally. Only other surprise, I'd say, I'm trying to think of somebody who was like a negative surprise. I thought you'd be better. Surprise.
Adrian Peterson.
Oh, there you go. That is a good point. Adrian Peterson was a big surprise.
Well, but that's also if you were expecting a ton out of him. I mean, I wouldn't. I don't know. The signing was kind of questionable.
I expected him happened. To last more than two games and
classic,
run the
yeah,
ball more than four games, three games, what?
Maybe what? Just two. I mean, it wasn't a lot.
You think classic, Jeff? Because I expected Adrian Peterson to play yes. football.
Yeah,
I expected him to play football. He didn't play football.
Yeah, but you might have expected him to be better than.
Yeah, I did.
What he, yeah, you did.
All right. Let's see. Next tweet from Davis Douglas, and this is kind of a little bit along that same vein of end of season poll for us. And we got best played game of the year.
Buffalo.
Yeah, hard to argue against the Buffalo game. I mean, that was just domination.
All right. Worst played
on the road
game of the year.
Mm.
The first half of the Minnesota
Patriots.
Game.
The Patriots.
That first Minnesota game.
I don't know. The Patriots.
But at least against
21.
The Patriots. Yeah, but at least we scored a lot more points. Like Minnesota, we were out of it like pretty much from the first quarter. It was like, well, fuck, we're not winning.
What about the Washington game up until the last 5 minutes?
But we won that game. You can't. This is
right,
the
no,
full
no,
game.
No, you definitely you can't count that. Look, the Patriots game, we lost 36-20.
Oh, God. I thought it was closer than that.
No. They had scored 30 points going into halftime.
Oof.
30 points going into, y'all really not, have you tried to block
that
out?
I remember it was bad.
Yeah, it was 30-13 going into halftime.
Maybe we can group the first two games together because they were both dreadful.
Yeah.
No, pick one.
No, Patriots for me.
I would say to me, the worst played game. Not.
I'm still going to go with the Vikings because I thought we could go on the road and beat the Vikings. I didn't have a lot of expectations of beating the Pats.
But that you're not,
even though we were at home.
Did they play better or worse? The worst played game.
They didn't play good against Minnesota at all. They were confused.
Right.
The first game. Clearly not the playoff game.
Yeah, I mean, it's easily, you can choose either one of the first two games.
I mean, we weren't good against the Rams either, but still that first game because I remember watching the game at Bivens and it was a depressing night.
Yeah.
Okay. Next one is best moment of the year. I would say it had to be within the Atlanta Thursday night game.
Okay.
Okay, I wasn't going there, but okay.
I mean, I'm sorry, not the Thursday night. With the Atlanta home game. Just maybe I would even go so far as to say the no. I wasn't even there, and I'd say one of the best moments might have been when the Super Bowl players led the Hoot at chant. Just even watching the video, like.
I'm going to go with you there. That game, that moment, those moments, seeing those alumni come back with a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That was, if you're looking at that. So in terms of on the field, I would say maybe the Kamara touchdown, the juggling touchdown.
Against Washington?
Redskins,
Yep.
All right. There you go.
You remember that play. We might have talked about it during the show that week. But because he juggled, I think some of the Washington players let up.
Good.
Do you believe that? Have you watched that play enough?
I watched the replay, and it seemed like they kind of, like if he just straight up catching it, they're still on the axe of making a tackle.
Right, but it seemed like they pulled up when
it seemed like they changed. Yeah. It did affect him. Yeah.
All right. worst moment of the year, and he did include duh.
Well, right. excluding that play.
That play that shall not be mentioned.
Right, the play that shall not be named.
Then it's easy Breeze's pick against Atlanta on Thursday night.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the worst moment of the year was the moment, aside from that play, it's the moment that I realized we were not going to beat Atlanta in Atlanta.
Right.
All right, and then biggest concern going into next year.
Biggest concern.
I'll go with our linebacking position. I think we need an upgrade. Now, I know we're going to get Klein back and Anzalone, but, I mean, Anzalone is injury-prone, and he got injured this year. So even though he has a shit ton of talent, you know, even if the Saints would have advanced past Minnesota, you know, maybe Philly or even New England would have exploited the matchup against our line. Because Robertson, I mean, I love him, but fuck, he's slow as molasses. Like, he can't cover, and that would have killed us. So we need more speed at the linebacker position.
And we need to get more depth everywhere.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
I don't know that we do.
We lost 20-something guys.
Right.
We had the
depth. We still should have played in the conference title game.
Right.
Yeah. I think our depth is fine. Well, we need to be fucking healthy.
That's my biggest. My biggest concern is health. Period.
Well, we got rid of Ochsner, so.
No, we didn't. We named him freaking facility after him.
Please be our sponsor. Well, they fired the two doctors. But.
Right.
But that didn't help. We got more. They fired the doctors. We got more injuries than ever before.
Yeah, I want to have a season where we're actually fucking healthy.
Yeah,
for the most part. I mean, I know you're going to have some injuries here and there, but it seems like the last 2 years we have been bit hard by fucking injuries.
Yeah, it's definitely health. I think you bring up a good point with the linebackers, and then Damon, I'll give you yours, which is also I think what is it like? Is it the maintaining? That what we captured this year, that magic, you know, recapturing that magic and having it continue to carry us through next year, right? I mean, that's part of it too. Or keeping your coaches throughout with all these coaching positions open.
Yeah, that was nice. We didn't lose anybody this year.
At least not yet.
Well, there were
rumors that with the Patriots losing Patricia that they might be looking at Aaron Glenn. But, was their coordinator, so... I wouldn't fault Glenn for leaving, but I mean, he's been important in our defensive back turnaround.
Well, that's because they were going to they thought Arizona was going to take somebody else on that team, their linebacker coach or something. But now it's Wilkes from Carolina.
From Carolina, okay.
To Arizona, what they were the same people reporting, that the Patriots are going to, promote from within, and that... Glenn should be safe here.
All right, good. Okay, and then the last part of the poll, last question, is biggest hope of next year.
I hope we win the Super Bowl in Atlanta Stadium.
Right? Yeah.
That's the biggest hope.
I don't know if one of y'all said it or if it was Doug, but yeah, after that, I quit watching football, get my tickets up, I'm done. I mean, I can't top that. I mean, what the fuck else, you know?
I mean, that's it.
That's it.
Yeah, you really could not get better than winning.
No, everything else would just be a disappointment.
Stadium.
No.
Wow.
I mean, I've stopped watching football. Fuck them. Thank you.
Somebody had tweeted to us that they already booked a room in Atlanta.
I saw that.
Oh, my God. We have to. I mean, okay, look. I mean, we have to go there.
If it happens.
That's the one. I mean, that's... Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, 100%. Do you realize how many Saints fans you would see in Atlanta?
Oh, my God. It would be insane.
It would be a home game. As a matter of fact, you know, Minnesota missed out on the chance to be the first home football team. Well, we're going to do it next year in Atlanta.
Right. Because that's our goal. If we would do that. I mean, everybody would have to make that trip out there and just...
Yeah.
Even if you can't get tickets to the game.
Just go out there and... Wear your colors.
Yeah. That's a nice little, 7-8 hour drive? Nice and easy.
Not too bad. So it was Giovanni Turner, and he said, thank you, Dome Patrol PKS, for pointing out that the 2019 Super Bowl is in our little brother's house. I am booking a room in one of their crappy hotels right now. And he posted a picture of the three nights, one room, Friday, February 1st to Monday, February 4th, for 2019.
I would even stay in a van down by the river for that Super Bowl.
Yes, yes.
I mean, that would just be insane.
That's what we should do. We should rent a van and just park it by the river and just stay in the van down by the river.
Broadcast from it.
Of course. Set up a little Wi-Fi hotspot. We're good to go.
All right, that's all for tweets. I'm going to now move us into fake news.
I'm sorry. I have to add something to what we were talking about. But isn't that like Philly coming to Minnesota now? I mean, if you're a Minnesota fan and the horrific way you were treated in Philadelphia, now these assholes are coming to your city.
It's going to be difficult, but it's not like they're a hated rival.
Well, right. No, I mean, it's not like, no, it doesn't reach a level of our Atlanta, you know, no doubt. But it's still, I mean, it's pretty...
Well, let me tell you something. Minnesota's fans are not saints themselves. Okay? They're just as
no, but not like again. I mean, Jeff, did you read any of the stuff online? Oh, come on, we'll do that. I mean,
tell us about.
Oh, I mean, they showed pictures of, you know, when the Minnesota Vikings fans they're walking through down the street to get to the stadium, and these Eagle fans just start throwing cans of beer at them. Full cans of beer.
So we're winning.
Well, no, this is before the game.
Oh, before. Okay.
Yes. And, you know, people posted on Twitter and whatever, you know, their experiences and saying, you know, just had, you know, dozens and dozens of fans, you know, people get in your face screaming, fuck you, get out of my city, fuck you. I mean, that's no way to act. Again, we have a great stadium. Fans love coming to our stadium. We get passionate about our team, but we love and respect our city. Never heard someone say, oh, I hate coming to New Orleans. The fans are such assholes, you know. But Philly, I mean, you know, Minnesota's boss is pulling away. They're throwing the eggs and beer and everything. I mean, the NFL needs to do something about that shit.
Just found video. Somebody tweeted Eagles fans walking around South Philly taking shots at a 99-year-old grandma. You remember the 99-year-old woman they were talking about during the Saints game?
Millie. Right.
They got two Eagles fans walking down the street. I don't know if it's after the game or something. And they've got a bed sheet, like a twin size bed sheet with spray paint, you know, words "fuck Millie" on it, and they're carrying it like a banner.
Are they following her, or did you have the sheet?
Well, they just have the sheet. She's clearly not in Philadelphia. She's but they obviously heard about her when they
That's like the Bears assholes in 2006 saying, we're going to finish what Katrina started and all that, you know.
Yeah. So, yeah, the classless. It's just, but, you know, I don't know. Every like we say with LSU fans and everything, every fan base has these guys, and they're usually.
But those are extremely bad.
And in college. So.
They are the worst. Like, yeah, I'm pulling for Sproles from the Super Bowl, but fuck their fans. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Like I'll never understand why, you know, in some of these cities where your team wins a championship and you fucking light shit on fire and destroy shit.
Not right.
I just don't get it. I don't get it.
I know I've told you my theory, at least, like, you know, when we won in 2009, and people say, oh, they're gonna riot and blah blah blah, and I said, no, we're not, because anyone from New Orleans is used to being in a mob. With Mardi Gras.
Mm-hmm.
Which one of us has not been in a fucking place with tens of thousands of people? And we don't lose our individuality. These morons, when you put them together, they get the mob mentality.
Yeah.
And they lose themselves. And that's why they act. And I'll give them a little.
Go ahead.
You know, they act how they wouldn't have act normally. You know, if you meet them on a one-on-one situation, that might be polite people.
Well, they're liquored up, right. And they're...
And they're liquored up. But again, we're liquored up too. We're liquored up in Mardi Gras.
Right. Yeah.
Well, you know, we have a million plus people in eight blocks.
Well, then they're just angry because their lot in life sucks. They live in that shithole city, and they're angry at
I'm just saying, I don't ever see that happening here because, again, if you grew up in South Louisiana and you're used to Mardi Gras, you know, even going to... If you go into Metairie... Or small towns like La Paz parades, you're there with tens of thousands of people. You never, you know, it's a psychological thing. You don't lose your individuality because we've
been trained that way.
And even that, it's like, fuck, if I win a championship, I'm fucking happy and ecstatic. I'm not going to fucking...
Yeah, but there is...
I'm not going to destroy any of
there
them.
Are, there
no.
is something in some people's brains that to celebrate is to destroy as well. I mean, that's part of their way of celebrating. Maybe it's a bit of a, you know...
Cro-Magnon,
Neanderthal element in their brain that kind of overtakes.
And the NOPD will kick your ass, too. You know.
Well,
that's the thing. Like, you got Philly
officers.
You got Philly fans punching horses. Like, the fuck are you doing?
Fuck you, horse. I don't like the way you looking at me.
No, sir. I didn't like it.
All right. Anyway, let's get into fake news.
Am I making this presentation directly to the American people? With the media present, which is an honor to have you. This morning, because many of our nation's reporters and folks will not tell you the truth.
Speaking of fake news, the fakest of fake news writers, Jeff Duncan. I hate to
even bring him up and
give him any, like, any feeling of satisfaction that someone paid attention to something he wrote, but fuck him.
At least I'm proud to say I'm blocked by him on Twitter.
Really?
Yeah, I said something. He's a fucking asshole. Fuck him.
Do you know what you do? Recall?
I don't remember. I'm sure I tweeted at him, you're a fucking hack, you're a fucking bullshit piece of shit. I'm sure I said something like that.
No, but that's not very...
Well, if Jeff Duncan keeps blocking all the people who think that about him, then he's going to end up with 10 followers.
No, he's going to end up with the followers who like him. That's what he...
No, I mean, but you're right, and I think Doug and I were making fun of this the other day. Now, it wasn't Duncan, but it was the other asshole, his partner, who shaved his head.
Oh, Holder? I like Larry. Oh.
But the point being that no one gives a fuck about them. He, you know, this is some stunt that he had to do to try to do self-promotion and shave his head. Oh, no, I didn't, you know, fuck, I don't, you know, who knows who these people are.
I don't know, whatever, he made a bet at the beginning of the season and he lost.
With who? With who?
He made a bet on the radio that if Saints won this, he shaved his head.
Don't you have to make a bet with somebody?
He just said when they did the predictions.
Well, that's not a bet.
Well, he shaved his head.
Yeah, he did. But again, he shaved his head because he wanted someone to talk about him. Fuck him, too.
All right. So anyway, the article or...
Right, let's get back to the real asshole.
Question is the fact that he's basically going after Peyton, saying why that he's the most hated coach. We're making us the most hated team in the league with his like his skull thing.
His article said... He brandished the choke sign at Falcons running back Devontae Freeman, engaged in a bizarre midfield slap fight with Buccaneers coach Dirk Cotter, broke out a broom in the post-game locker room to taunt the Panthers.
That was awesome.
No, it's taunting the Panthers if he does it on the field. In the locker room, you can do what you want to do.
Celebrating with his team, and he didn't do it for the sake of sharing it on Twitter. He got it viral, but okay.
Right, and mocked Minnesota Vikings fans the sideline with a skull clap during the waning seconds of the Saints-Viking playoff game.
Yeah, he did do that.
Right, okay, you know, he single-handedly turned the Saints, one of the most likable group of players you'd ever want to meet, into the NFL's most despised team.
I don't.
Panthers.
Is that science?
Panthers. Right, but listen to his rationale. Panthers fans hate us. Good.
Yeah,
Falcons fans detest us.
They're supposed to.
Right. Buccaneers fans abhor us.
You're listing...
And now Vikings fans have been butthurt from that bullshit since 2009. Fuck them.
But all right, so first of all, I go to any division and say that the three teams hate the other team in every division.
Right.
Okay, so rule that out. And then the Viking fan. But then, you know, out of all of it, I don't give a fuck what anybody's fan base thinks about us. How about that?
Why am I trying to win
Vikings fans' favor?
You know, I like asshole Sean Payton. I want that as my coach. Right. Yes. I've already said it. Fuck the rest of the league. We've been fucked over. Fuck everybody else. It's us against everybody else, so I like my asshole coach.
Nice.
And Jeff Duncan, you can go fuck yourself with a bat full of razor blades just like Roger Goodell. And Peter fucking King.
Someone did tweet in response to that as well, and I think it's worth – I wish I remembered who was it. But they said that, okay, so Duncan's also the guy who wrote how Peyton needed to get his nuts back, pretty much, that he was a pussy.
Oh, no shit.
Right, like, oh, Peyton first. So first, he's not ballsy enough. He's not aggressive enough. He's not that guy. Right. Then he goes and bees that guy, and now you're saying he needs to tone it down.
Well, you know.
And like, he also, in Bounty Gate, he said, like, we got what we deserved. Like, he said shit like
that. Right.
Like, go fuck yourself.
Right. Fuck Jeff Duncan. He's he's a hack. Trying to, you know, in a dying medium, he's trying to get fucking...
He's trying to be a Skip Bayless.
Right.
Clickbait. You
know, right. In a dying medium, he's trying to someone to pay attention to him. Him and that other asshole. Fuck them both.
Come on, man. Leave Larry out of this.
Larry, fuck Larry Holder.
Oh, my God. Come on.
All right. Now, since we're on Sean Payton here, I'm going to read some tweets again. You remember Nick NRG? He's got the hard on for Payton's play calling.
Right.
And funny that he posted all this before the Duncan article came out, and that's why I'm reading it, because he's been on this shit. He says, it's a hard truth, and it's several tweets, it's pretty long-winded, but let me get through it, because, and then you can respond to it. All right. It's a hard truth that really needs to be addressed by the national media, but Peyton continues to be coddled and hidden in a small market, New Orleans. And it's not just his play calling. How about the choking sign against Atlanta or his mocking of the Vikings fans? In both of these situations, his arrogance and complete lack of self-awareness came back to bite him, and he not only looked like an idiot after blowing both of those games, but so do we as fans by extension. And I'm sorry, but a win on Wild Card Weekend does not deserve a celebration with a broom and bottle popping in the locker room. You almost
blew that. Well, fuck it, doesn't.
Hold on. You almost
blew that game too,
Peyton. Again, zero self-awareness. I'm so sick of this arrogance, smug fuck with his puckered lips. If he's in New York, LA, or any other large major market, Peyton gets exposed for what he really is, an overrated offensive mind that has rode the coattails of a Super Bowl that he won nearly a decade ago. And let's not even get into his pill-popping accusation of
that was never against him. See, this is why
magically swept under the rug years ago. I know I'm venturing off from his play calling, but he's honestly the most unlikable coach in the league.
It wasn't him. It was fucking. It was Joe Vid.
The video.
It was Joe Vid.
Gyrus and him. Oh, look at how sweet Sean Payton is. I love him. No, think outside the box, people. I'll be here.
Who is this guy?
Apologies when people eventually come around.
What's his name?
Nick NRG.
Nick's an idiot again, and he loses. Nick, you lose all credibility when you go to the pill popping and the Vicodin. It wasn't Sean Payton. It wasn't Sean Payton, you fucking retard. So you lose all
name
fucking... Well, he called the coach something. I'm going to call him a name. You know, I mean, so you lose all credibility. It wasn't Sean Payton. It wasn't. You just believe you're a sheep. Bah. Bah. Believe whatever you see on the fucking, you know, that fucking little box tells you. You know, grow up, get your head out of your ass, and listen to people who have, and I'm talking, I mean, us, yeah, sure, we're... But not just us, but people who have more fucking, you know, intelligence about what Sean Payton is, and listen to what they say.
All right, so strip
how they respect
down, so, strip out the name, but all, strip out the non, the
right,
character
but also
issues,
he,
and get to the play calling, or...
Look, I don't, we've already talked about the play calling. Yes, he has some plays where, you know what the fuck are you thinking, but he's also got great play calls, and you don't call out the good, right. You only call out the bad, but in right. terms of being coddled, like, yes, for a while, he was definitely coddled here after the Super Bowl. And fuck, any
so
coach is going
like
to get that.
Worn out that
coddled how? Coddled
well, how? You know, I mean, look, we were just, fuck, he's a Super Bowl winning coach, anything can happen. But over the last couple of years, he has started to get criticized, and he wasn't getting away with a lot of this stuff. Now,
like what? Benson, I mean, I need specific.
No, being 7-9 and having shitty.
Oh no, yeah, no.
He was player personnel evaluation. He was being criticized for that here. He wasn't
right, okay.
being coddled. So, I mean, look, it happened. He wasn't being coddled. Now they found a way to right the ship. And
right. Well, up until the last 3 years, I mean, you say coddled. I mean, we won 11 games, 13 games, then with 12. You
right.
Know,
well, he was gone.
He was gone.
Here.
Right. Then we won 13 games. And then the last 3 years,
really, I mean,
14, 7-9.
15, 16, 3-7-9 seasons
right.
started
like
to get criticism.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, right. The first one, you know, and what part did Bounty Gate? What you bullshit? Bounty Gate was bullshit. What's the name of that book?
Oh, Bread and Circuses.
Right. If you think Bounty Gate was real or whatever, read that book. It's on Amazon or Yahoo, something.
Yeah. definitely on
Amazon. Go find it. I bought it. I think I bought it.
I read it. It was a great read.
Very, very good. Very good book. So, no, Sean Payton's ability is fine.
Right. You know? Look, he's a top 10 coach in the league.
Is he smug and arrogant? Yes.
Is he smug and arrogant if you can do it?
Is he overrated offensive mind who's riding the coattails of a Super Bowl that he won 10 years ago?
I mean, he's a great offensive mind. Our offense continues to be in the top five.
I think there is some justification of why someone would say that. I don't know that I agree that it's that extreme that he's, you know, that he can't do it again, right? I mean, I think the way it's said, it makes it suggest that he kind of lucked into it and it's a fluke. No, I think he is a great offensive mind and he needs the pieces of the puzzle to execute his vision, and he hadn't had that.
No doubt.
And yes, he's been given some forgiveness, like you guys said, maybe a little more than whatnot. But again,
the 3-7-9 season, that's all we have to bitch about.
To be, one of you had said, and probably you, Damon, at one point and over the last few years, about certain quarterbacks, like there's a certain mentality that you have to be a successful quarterback. And it's arrogance and it's cockiness and I'm better than everybody else around here. Winners want the ball. You know what I mean? You've got to have that killer instinct. And maybe the same is to be, I mean, do you want a coach like the 7-9 Peyton who had his tail between his legs and his
Grandpa Sean?
Grandpa Sean. Do you want the coach from Billy, what's the shit? The water boy?
Coach Clyde?
Yeah. Or do you want somebody who is going to walk out with his balls, his dick hanging out and swinging and slapping everybody with it? Yeah. I want the guy who's
going
to mock the fans when he's winning. I want that.
I love asshole Sean as my coach. I love it. It's fun. You know what? It's fun.
The swagger shows up on the field too. I'm sorry, it does. It's you know, not only is he a great offensive mind, he's a great head coach.
Yeah.
You understand? And we've talked about it before, how some people aren't made for the big chair. We've said it for years in the podcast. You know, Wade Phillips, great defensive coordinator. Man is not meant for the big chair.
No.
North Turner, Sean great offensive coordinator.
Right.
Not meant for the big chair.
Right. Not meant for the big chair. Sean Payton is a great offensive mind and meant for the big chair. He knows how to motivate his team from his schedule with all the shit they do. So, you know, Nick, I don't know what Nick did. Maybe Sean Payton fucked his wife or something. I don't know. I mean, but it seems like a personal hate, not a...
I don't know what it is. He wants perfection. Nick, do you want perfection out of him?
I mean, he wants 2011's offense back, and we're probably never going to get that back.
No!
That was a once-in-a-lifetime thing.
No, because you know what? No two players are the same.
Right.
You know? Yeah, the 49ers would like to have Jerry Rice and Joe Montana back. They would be thrilled with that.
Now the 49ers like to have Jeff Garcia back.
No.
They're actually pretty good.
Jimmy Garoppolo. Yeah, no, I think they're set for a couple of years.
All right.
But anyway, so Nick, I don't know. Whatever stick is in your ass, take it out.
Enjoy. Enjoy asshole Sean. He's much better than
exactly.
Grandpa Sean.
Because I tell you what, you're going to be hoping for asshole Sean when he's gone.
That's right. All right, let's do a quick, because we're running a little on the time here, but let's do a quick NFL reach around. Where, Damon, why don't you take us through the coaching carousel since you, probably know more about who's doing what.
I really don't. I was hoping Jason would take this.
Jesus Christ.
Hold on. I'm trying to get to the website.
Pat Shurmur, the offensive coordinator at the Vikings, got hired with the Giants.
Excellent. So that'll matter.
Right. Again, Wilkes, a defensive coordinator from Carolina, went to Arizona.
Excellent. I love it when they pluck these teams.
Right. And if I'm not mistaken, the only vacant job out there is Indianapolis, and you know, according to reports, they're waiting for Josh Daniels.
Right, because Mike Vrabel got hired as Tennessee's coach, and you know, Patricia is the Lions' coach. I mean,
I'm curious on how he does. I'm curious
because it seems like the New England coordinators that have left have not been successful.
I mean, the only two I can really think, I mean, Daniels in Denver, you know.
He was successful for a year or two, and then that flamed
out. For a year, well, for about really about 6 years. If you remember, they went 6-0, or 8-0, or 6-2, and then they lost the rest of the game, and I think they might have snuck into the playoffs. But anyway, but you had Daniels in Denver. You had Romeo Crennel in a couple of places. I know he went to KC, but I know he was somewhere else. And then the big fat guy who went to Notre Dame for a while, whose name I escaped.
Charlie Weiss.
Right. So,
So
yeah, look, it's their system. It's not the coordinators. You know, now, I guess, you know, cause remember they took Scott Pioli even, you know, who was in the front office and took him to Kansas City.
Well, Kansas City
took Matt Cassel. It took Matt Cassel. I mean, you know, they were just trying to say, fuck it, we'll just take, you know, the number two on everybody in the Patriots, and hopefully, you know, it'll work out here. And it didn't. Look, okay, the system is Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick, greatest coach of all time.
Yep.
Yeah, but I guess, you know, the hope is, I mean, I'm just hoping that the Saints are able to keep all their coaches. I would like the continuity going towards next year.
For sure.
That would be wonderful. Again, if we talked to how many years did we say we need to get rid of some of these bums?
I was going
to
say, this is the first year, I think, in a long time that we've said that we'd like to keep all our coaches.
Want to keep everybody. I mean, it clearly made it. We talked about it. It made a difference.
Yep.
It made a difference. See, if they would just listen to us.
Right. We could avoid it, the 3-7.
We could avoid it, no doubt. I mean, my goodness, why aren't we being paid by the NFL or NFL team?
All right.
Well, look, hey, look, for enough money, I'll fucking give my advice to Atlanta.
Yeah, sabotage. So the other piece of news is the Walter Payton Man of the Year award went to Ben Watson, former Saint and Patriot. I guess it's Cam Jordan was nominated, wasn't he?
Well, every team has a nominee, but yeah, Cam Jordan was our
Saints.
Nominee.
Yeah, he was our nominee. And so I like it's funny how Cam Jordan came out and he was like, you know, congratulations to Ben Watson. You know, he's very gracious, you know, with it. And then I think somebody posted on behalf of Cam Jordan that was like, Cam Jordan was robbed. And I love that. It was a Saints player or something. Or maybe it was Scott Shanley or something. But it wasn't Shanley. Anyway, I do love that Shanley and Fujita are, you know, avid Saints fans on Twitter.
Yeah, Shanley's been great on Twitter. Yeah.
Poor Scott Shanley. They tried to get rid of that man from the first time we signed him. And we can never get rid of him.
Nope.
He just stayed. Oh, this year we're going to replace Canley. Nope. Thank you.
Thank you.
And now he's a fan. All right, now let's get into pick-ems.
It's time to play the game. Put your money on the table. Come on. It's the one game. You'll never, ever win.
All right, man. What a week of pick-ems. Damon, congrats. You went 2-0.
Thank you.
Courtney went 0-2 last week.
Well, I told you that. Courtney doesn't know anything about football.
Jeff also went 0-2.
Wait, how did he go 0-2? I thought y'all had two separate picks.
We did.
He lost both, and I went 2-0!
Oh, did you? Wow. Okay, that's right. Wow.
It is basically the Breeze second half comeback against Minnesota without the bullshit miracle play.
Wow, you have surpassed.
Cannot beat.
And I've clinched it.
Yep.
I'm now 46-46, and Jeff is 44-48.
And Jeff had a commanding lead at one point where he was he was way over 500.
I mean, I falconed it. I mean, that's all.
You definitely.
Oh, no doubt.
The second half of the last 7 weeks or so.
Right. So in week 15, he went 1-4. Week 16, he went 3-2. Week 17, he went 0-5. Wild card round, he went 1-3. Divisional round, he went 1-3. And this week, he went 0-2.
Wow.
So he went into a fucking tailspin.
I think I overthought it.
Where did Doug finish?
Let's do the bigger thing, the bigger picture here. Jim Bowl, home team Rants, is in first place with a 522 record, followed by Vincent Burke, 513, and then Jason, 500.
Woohoo! Podium finish!
then Doug, 483, then Jeff, 478. So I have.
Wow! So Doug, wow! Doug has come back and overtaken you.
Yes.
I hope Doug was gambling him on his dick.
And rubbed his dick all in your face.
Oh, no, that would be Jason. So
Jason rubbed the dick in your face?
No,
Jason, that's terrible. Don't do that. That's not nice.
I did it for fun now, bro.
Doug dick and
that's how big my dick is.
All right. Then Neil, then Damon, then Gerald Boutte, Wheels, Life of Ta, Davis Douglas, CJG, Preston Allen, Who Dat Fitz, Green Bomb, Me So Mad, Triple D, Ed Hunt, Ryan Angier, Chris McGuire, Scott Waters, Near Hungry Who Dat, Dr. Who Dat, Emmanuel, EJ Pasternot, Random Thoughts, Ryan Guidry, and the rest, who shall not be named. Except Ben Wright, who's in last place.
Am I the only one who, when I hear Emmanuel, think of those Cinemax
Emmanuel series? Oh, yeah. Soft porn, I'm saying.
Yeah.
No.
All right, let's go. What's our first game? Shitty game of the week.
Yeah, it is our shitty Super Bowl game of the week.
Who's the home team?
It's an NFC stadium, but I don't know how that works. Like, I think it's the same.
They just switch. I think
technically New England is the home team.
Well, we need to know for Jim Bowl, because...
Nine, it was New Orleans.
Well, I thought I remember when we went to Minnesota a couple weeks ago, we were in the visitor's locker room, and if we went back, we'd have been back in the same locker room.
Let's see.
So, I think somebody said they were going to leave something in the locker room to retrieve it.
Okay.
Well, that didn't happen. So anyway, Super Bowl not this weekend, but next weekend we get the week off. And New England.
We have the Pro Bowl!
We're
not going to talk about the Pro Bowl? I mean, that's a 30-minute segment right there.
No.
Ugh. I'll put that aside with our mock draft talk that will get tossed in the trash.
There you go.
Okay. Well, you know, our coaches are coaching the Pro Bowl, if that means anything.
They are, which means a lot of them aren't at the Senior Bowl this week, which...
Yep.
Yep.
That's all that matters.
So the current line is New England favored by 5.5.
5.5.
Oh, by the way, New England is considered the home team.
I already said that, you fucking idiot.
All right. Who? New England's favored by 5.5?
5.5.
Oh, that's a lot. I mean, are Super Bowls close or are they blowouts? All Patriots games are close, right?
All Patriots Super Bowl.
I got it. So, I mean, just for the points, I'm going to take New England. I'm going to take Philadelphia.
You know what?
It
doesn't matter, so I'm taking Philadelphia.
Make it a clean sweep. I took Philly the last 2 weeks. So I'm riding them again.
But again, I'm pulling for
like
New England.
Damon, but like Damon, New England's going to win the game. Just not by 6.
Yeah, 5.5. The Patriots always keep it pretty close.
I don't know, man. I think...
Actually, you know what? I'm going to change my pick. I'm taking New England. Fuck it. You know what? I think this is going to be one where they actually do put Philly down.
I think
it's only a touchdown. It's just a touchdown.
I think Philly's going to win the game. I think they're going to win it outright.
What I said earlier in the show, this week really, you know, after Carson Wentz went down, everybody has poo-pooed Philly for the last, what is that now? 5-7 weeks,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, 5-6 weeks.
And watching this game, I mean, Philly, I'm on, you know. I'm on. Again, I don't think they're going to win. I think they're going to be close because I just don't think you can beat the evil empire of Belichick and Brady.
No. See, Philly has a pass rush, and that's, dude, in that first half when Jacksonville was getting to Brady and he was flinching.
I don't care.
Getting a rush.
Then Belichick will figure something out. And the referees will start calling holding on the defense.
Well, maybe that's it, right?
I don't care.
NFL's going to make sure that New England wins this one. They need Tom Brady to get that sixth ring.
Six rings.
He's got to start the new hand. All right.
Rings. Wow.
And then we have about 2 minutes for Pelican.
Well,
plunge!
The game. To survive, aiming to win any way they can.
You're gonna win.
Yeah, pass the ball, final catch.
Crazy game last night. DeMarcus Cousins had a crazy stat line. 40 plus points, 20 plus rebounds, 10 assists. The first time that's happened since 1968.
Wow.
First time that anybody has said that line. Now, it's a shame that it took that to beat Chicago in two overtimes. But now the Pelicans are a couple games over 500. If the season ended today, they'd be in the playoffs. They can be incredibly frustrating to watch. They're all the same kind of issues. They suck in the third quarter. I don't know why. They just get, I don't know what happens in the third quarter, but, you know, Holiday has really had a good season. It seems like they might be coming around a little bit.
They have a winning record.
Yeah, and look, they can be frustrating, but they're entertaining as hell to watch. And, you know, at the beginning of the season, I said, man, if we grab a six seed, I'd be happy with it. That's currently where they're at, so.
It is interesting that this is the first year in a very long time, Jason, that you have a little bit more of a realist perspective on the Pelicans rather than coming in with saying like, oh, it's...
Isn't it, right? Isn't it nice?
Bound, and we're going to win it all, and oh, we're just in a two-game slide slump here. No. It's nice to hear that realize that the Pelicans are who what they are.
I think this third year of Gentry has just worn me down. Like, I realize... We're only, you know, we do have a kind of a ceiling. And look, Boogie, as incredible as he can be, man, he makes some dumb decisions and has bad turnovers. And that's just Boogie experience, unfortunately. So I'm not a fan of Gentry as a coach, but this team does have enough talent to make the playoffs. So
All right. I
do think they'll make the playoffs. I'm just hoping they're not a 7 or 8 seed because I don't want to have to play Houston or Golden State in round one because we have no shot at winning either one of those series. Right. Which we do play Houston on Friday night here.
So you're the Gentry experiment. You have your results. You're done with it.
Yep.
Now, if we make the playoffs, will we get rid of him?
I doubt it, but I mean, I don't know. I didn't. We made the playoffs with Monty, and they fired him. I didn't.
Yeah, and look, the NBA for any of our fans listening and not a fan of the NBA, don't follow it. The NBA lets more than 50% of their team into the playoffs. It's a money grab. The more games, more, you know, it's BS. Just making the playoff in the NBA isn't that impressive. Would you agree with that?
In the Eastern Conference, when you've had teams with losing records make the playoffs, yes. At least in the West, I mean, you've had teams that have won 49, 50 games and have been an 8 seed.
Right.
I mean, it takes a lot to win 50 games. So
you've had teams go 10-6 in the NFL and not make it 11-5.
Not very often 11-5, but yes.
Well, not very often, but it happens. So, I don't know. Again, the NBA lets too many teams in the playoffs. It doesn't excite me.
Well, I just if we can get a 6 seed or above, I'll be excited because that means we're not going to play Houston or Golden State. And I think we would have a real chance to win a series in advance. So that's really what I'm.
All right, then. You know what? Next week, everybody, it is a week with no football games, but we will record
the Pro Bowl.
A show, like I said, we'll produce a show, and I think that next week will be a good week to talk about our bold predictions that were sure to go wrong. Yeah,
I like it.
As well as our Super Bowl preview show,
and our first three rounds of the mock draft.
Oh, God.
All right, so that's all the show we have for you this week, and we're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about Dome Patrol Podcast. You can like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on your podcast app, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
Dacam.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, skull donkeys.
Good night, Hootat Nation.